Loving Father, help us now to come to your word open to being surprised. May your spirit rest upon us to teach, reprove, correct, and train us to more faithfully follow Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. It was a most delightful 4th of July that Rita and I spent a few years ago as we were visiting with friends who live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And they really know how to celebrate the 4th of July there. We began the day by looking at a horse chestnut tree that is well over 200 years old. It was planted by William Whipple, which was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He brought back with him seeds from Philadelphia to plant a tree to celebrate the Declaration of Independence. We left there to then go to the town square where there was a reenactment of receiving the Declaration of Independence and a reading of it by men who were dressed like Jefferson and Franklin. And then that night to see fireworks over the water. They know how to celebrate the 4th of July. After all, the motto of New Hampshire is live free or die. This morning in our New Testament reading, we have what I think of as the Apostle Paul's Declaration of Independence. It is the declaration of our freedom in Christ Jesus, a freedom that is far greater than even political independence. As the Apostle Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. It will take diligence. It will take effort to live in this freedom that we have in Christ. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom. Here in Paul's urgent letter to the Galatian Christians, he is pleading with them not to go back to the slavery of law-keeping, not to go back to legalism, not to go back to a gospel plus something else. Stand firm, therefore, in your freedom in Christ Jesus. The good news is that God is very much taken by you. God decided that he would rather die than to live eternally without you. Through Jesus Christ, he has set us right with himself. We have freedom in Christ. Believe me, I know very well personally the slavery of trying to earn God's love, of trying to earn God's acceptance. And Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Do not go back to legalism. Do not go back to a gospel of grace plus law-keeping, grace plus something else. And in the remainder of our New Testament reading tonight, the Apostle Paul is, I think he is setting forth what it means for us to live out our freedom in Christ, a freedom that we celebrate. It seems very clear, as he has a repeated theme, as in verse 16 of Galatians 5, he says, live by the Spirit. Verse 22, he says, be led by the Spirit. And then again, he repeats it in verse 25, live by the Spirit. This is the key to experiencing our freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit into this new way of living. And again, live by the Spirit. To live daily in this reliance upon the Spirit of God who lives within us. I learned early on in my Christian experience the impossibility of living the Christian life. I found early on that it was impossible for me to love my enemy. Sometimes I had difficulty with loving those next door to me. But how could I love my enemy? I couldn't. How could I possibly put fear aside? How could I possibly effectively talk to another person about Jesus Christ? I found it impossible that I could not live the Christian life in my own strength. And I begin to see here the call to live by the Spirit of God. Now, I was a teenager that was really struggling with this whole idea of living the Christian life when I happened to come across in my late grandmother's effects, I came across a copy of Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life. Watchman Nee, a great Christian in China in the early 20th century, responsible for many of the underground churches there today, and after the communists took control of China, Watchman Nee spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. But I came across a paragraph in The Normal Christian Life that really spoke to me, as Watchman Nee told of when he was a boy, he and some other Christians, they were by a river. And some of them were out in the river swimming, and he saw that one of them, through what he said was some time of cramp, that he started to struggle to stay afloat. And Watchman Nee yelled to a expert swimmer that was nearby, "Help him, help him, help him." And that expert swimmer did nothing. Until finally, this distressed young man went down under the water, and with a few brief strokes, that expert swimmer swam to him and brought him safely ashore. And Watchman Nee said, "I hated that expert swimmer for not helping him sooner, for letting him go down for the third time." And I asked him, he said, "Why didn't you help him sooner?" And that expert swimmer, he says, I knew by experience that I had to let all the last strength and effort go out of him or he would pull me under. I had to let him exhaust himself before I could rescue him. Watchman Nee's point was this, that I had to come to that point, and you have to come to that point where we, in a sense, we exhaust ourselves in trying to live the Christian life. We exhaust ourselves in trying to be good, in trying to earn God's favor and love, and we are exhausted, and we go down for the third time, and then the Holy Spirit can come and rescue us as we begin to discover what it means to live by the Spirit. And I began to discover the wonderful New Testament reality. I can't, but He can. I can't love that person who hurt me so much. I can't, but He can. I can't even stand up here this morning and speak God's word, but He can. This is the reality of Christian living, to live in moment by moment reliance upon the Holy Spirit. I can't, but He can. And this is the freedom that we begin to live into and experience in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes when I'm preaching and I see someone start to nod off, I'll say something like, Jesus never did a miracle. That gets their attention. They sit up. Do you know Jesus Christ never did a miracle? To whom did Jesus point to as the source of his miracles? Who? The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit working in the God-man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never preached a sermon, but he preached it in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And the realization of that really began to speak to me. That if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his humanity, if he lived daily, moment by moment, in reliance upon the Holy Spirit, then that's the key for me, that's the key for you, as Paul says, to live by the Holy Spirit, as Christ has set us free. Jesus' title, Christ, Christos, one who is anointed by the Spirit. Christians, little Christ, we are those who are anointed by God's Spirit. I think of Mary, this young teenage girl who told that she would give birth to the Son of God. And she says, I don't even know how. But as she said yes to God, the Spirit of God reproduced in her the very life of Jesus. And the Spirit of God works within us to produce in us the very life of Jesus, his character, his person. Now, in our text, as Paul carries out the implications of living free in Christ, that is, living reliantly upon the Spirit of God, he then distinguishes between what he calls the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit, and the works of the flesh. What is the flesh? In the New Testament, the flesh is simply the sin nature. The flesh is simply me apart from God. It's me acting naturally. Works of the flesh. Notice he calls them works. There are things that we work at, but there are things that we strive to do. And I used to read here the works of the flesh. I used to read that as people going out there and trying to live as horribly as they can. But the works of the flesh are you and me trying in our own strength to live the Christian life. The works of the flesh are what we do. And it's a rather sordid list of sins that happen as we in our own strength, as we in our own power try to follow Jesus Christ. That's the works, the efforts, the strivings of the self, as opposed to the fruit that is the outflow of the very life of the Spirit of God within us. So as we walk by the Spirit, as we live our lives reliantly upon the Spirit of God who indwells within us, the Spirit produces his fruit. It's not works, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not I, but Christ in me by his Holy Spirit. It's not you, but it's the Spirit of God within you. Now, my wife, Rita, when she goes to Costco, she buys grapes there. They have some of the best grapes that I've found here in the valley, and I like grapes. And, you know, I was thinking about there are a couple of ways that you could go about making grapes. Well, the first way, you could go down to Michael's Art Supply. And you could buy some paint, you could buy some plastic, you could buy some different kinds of construction paper, you could buy some wire, and, you know, I've seen people that can make grapes that look real until you taste them. What's the other way you can get grapes? You can grow a vine. It produces the fruit. I have found in my own attempts to live the Christian life that sometime I can really work at it and I can really construct it where it might look real until people taste it. The works of the flesh are you and me thinking we can do it with a little more effort, with a little more rule-keeping, and finding the right method. But as we live reliantly upon God's Spirit who lives within us, the natural outflow of that life is the fruit of the Spirit. And I notice here that the fruit of the Spirit seems to all be summed up in the word love. In fact, Paul says, love fulfills the law. That as we live reliantly upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that produces, if you will, the very character of Jesus Christ produces that fruit within us. So that as we walk by the Spirit of God, as we face life's problems by the Spirit of God, the Spirit produces the very life of Jesus within us. I was very taken by the letter that our new rector wrote to the church. And in that last phrase, he says, I will pray that all eyes will be pointed not to the next rector, but to the Lord Christ and what he desires to do in this next season, in and through all of his people, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's got it, doesn't he? It's not our next rector. It's not you or me. But it's what the Spirit of God does within us as we look to him and as we rely upon him. A few years ago, Reed and I spent a wonderful evening with Mark and Martha Wenzel. They had us over to their home for an evening where they had as their guest an immigrant family from Iraq. Young mother and father and two young boys came here under very difficult circumstances, but they came as members, if you will, of the oldest church in the world, the Aramaic-speaking church in Iraq. And as they were struggling to learn English, and I knew no Arabic, of course, and we were able to converse, and I was talking to Wasan, the wife, who was a little more fluent in English, and I talked to her about heaven, and she didn't know what the word heaven was. And so she got out her smartphone that had an Arabic dictionary, and she saw the word heaven, and she said, oh, where Jesus lives. She got it. And then we began to talk a little further, and I had to say something about the Holy Spirit. And she looked at me. She didn't know what I meant by the Holy Spirit. So she gets out her smartphone again, and she looks up the Arabic word for Holy Spirit. And with a big smile on her face, she said, power. And I thought, wow. This young mother who had experienced the trauma of Iraq, who had experienced the trauma in a Jordanian camp, and the trauma of coming to Phoenix in the summer. When I said to her, Holy Spirit, she said, power, power, power. I can't, but he can. You can't, but he can. We can live reliantly this day on that same Spirit that came upon Jesus Christ and empowered him. We can increasingly live reliantly on him. Our eyes are not to the next rector. We're thankful for him. But our eyes are upon the Spirit of God and his power that is at work within us. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You notice there that all those different facets of the fruit of the Holy Spirit have to do with how you and I get along with each other as we live reliantly upon the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Amen.